Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara, six lines from the bottom of Pei Hei Amud Beis with words of Ella Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Our learning is once again sponsored Lidinushmas Shulamis Basakov Neshama Shara Aliyah. So we just redacted Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef wanted to explain the stira between Shmuel. Again, Shmuel seemed to contradict himself in one place, explaining that Davar Shelo Bala Olam is not going to be chal, and like Rabbi Yochanan a Sadler, as opposed to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, seems to say there is a concept called that you could be makdish davar shelo ba olam based on the concept of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri about the hafara. So Rav Yosef wanted to say shani konamos because Adam is oser peres chaver alav oser adam davar shelo ba olam alav. That was Rav Yosef, which we rejected. Rabbi gave the rejection. He explained that really it's like more similar to the case of Adam oser peres chaver al chaver. So now we're picking up after that rejection. Ella Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, again 6 lines from the bottom of Pei Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us, "Be'omeres yagdishi yadai le'osehen." Rabbi Yochanan Menuri's halacha that a wife is able to asser her future earnings on her husband. That's talking about what she says, "Let my hands be kadosh to the one who made them," meaning let my hands themselves be asser upon you as a kohen. So it means to say that she's saying that the hands, rather than their work, should be a kohen. So then, the adayim ha'isnim ba'olam, so we get out of it. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri basically is saying also that it is a davar shabala olam. It is something in the world because the hands, we know, are obviously, her hands right now are going to be chal. So her hands are going to be generated in the work, and therefore it's something which is bala olam. It's not davar shabala because it's based on her hands, and that is not going to be a problem. And therefore the kodem does not consider it something which is davar shabala olam, and therefore the husband has to do hafara on that neder. So Gemara says, v'chi amra hachi kadsha. And if she says this lashon about her hands, is that really going to be chal? V'hameshabdan yadan lebaleh. But wait a second, right now, her hands are obligated to work for her husband. We know that the concept, a person says, ein adam otzer davar sheino shelo. So even though the enachanami, their hands are right now, but still, the hands right now are going to be meshubad. And the round brings an example. Even the person who says, like a goy says to a Jew, the person who says davar shel balam, he says, right now I'm a goy, I'm going to convert tomorrow. So in 2 days I want to be makdish you right now, and because in 2 days I'm going to be a Jew. So then he says, meaning I'm going to be makdish you in 2 days from now. That's what he says. He said, I'm makdish you in 2 days from now. So that case, that's a davar shelo bala olam. But even there though, that's only where the person specified that the hekdesh should be chal at a time where it's possible for him to do so in 2 days from now. That very example that we're mentioning is only where the guy, the goy, says that not right now the hekdesh is chal because he's a goy, but he says in 2 days from now, I want you to marry me. So that also is going to be chal because that's when he has the ability to do so. In our Mishnah's case, the woman simply says that she's ushering her hands to her husband as a konem, which is implying right now that the habashan and the baal, and that is a problem because she's obligated to her husband with that. So the Gemara says, "Da amra lechimegarsha." So you say this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that her hands be kadosh when she is divorced. The neder is therefore going to be chal because she did so at a time where it's possible the ainush when she's divorced. The Rishonim and Ksubas actually, they asked that if the Mishnah is talking about a case where the wife said specifically that the neder should be chal after she's divorced, that's the whole chalos. So then, what does Rabbi Kiva argue? Rabbi Kiva says that maybe that there's hadafa. So how's her hadafa if they're talking about only after there's divorce? That's a very big question. That's a very big shaila in the Rishonim over there. And Ksubas deal with that, but that's a very strong question. But either way, the Gemara is telling us that when she says l'chi megarsha, when she's divorced, because she has bailus over that, she's affected because she has bailus over that point. And her yadai are in the olam, so there's no stira between the rulings of Shmuel. But the Gemara says further though, Hashta Mias Lomegarsha, Mimaidhi Amra Chimanya. But right now, at the end of the day, she's not divorced. So where do you know that she says it, it's going to work? Meaning that the neder could be chal at a time later, but at the end of the day, someone who says that you can't makdish davar shavalo ba'olam, and you can't be makdish something that's not yet in the world. So this hekdish is not going to be chal, even when you say specifically it should take effect after it's a time where it can be chal. But the whole point is right now it can't be. Even to explain the Mishnah's talk about a case where you're saying yadai, which are her hands, which are in the world, the fact that she's not able to be makdish her yadai right now because it's her husband's, it's not hers, that's like saying that's when it will become mine, it's going to be, this neder is going to be chal. But at the end of the day, it's not hers right now. That's like Gemara's pointing out. So that's like a davar shelo bala olam. How could this neder be chal b'chlal? So says the Gemara, now turning on to Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Eli says, why should it not help? Because Uma ilo omer lechavero, if one would say to his friend, sa dezu sha'ani mocher lecha, this field that I'm going to sell to you, lechishek echeno mimcha tikadish, milo kacha, that if I buy it back from you, that it should be hektish, meaning he's saying rhetorically, should it not become hektish, meaning it should be when it become hektish. Since he's makdish the field, before he sells it to the guy, he says, Reuven says to Shimon, I'm selling you the field, and then when I buy it back, it's going to be hektish. So when he buys it back, we want to say that it's actually going to be hektish. And in this case, we're understanding because right now, he has Rishus, he has bailus over the field, so he has Rishus to be makdish it, so that the hektish should take effect at a time when he is buying it back. Even though in the interim period, that whole interim period though, the field is completely not his, he sold it. So the hektish goes on Michal, that's the point of Rabbi Eli. So Rabbi Eli's understanding that should be the same as the case of the woman who wants to be makdish her hands, yadai, when she will be, to the husband, when she is going to be divorced. Eina chanami, the field is going to be, under, really, in that example, was the time of the, in our example, though, there's a fundamental difference. The field was yours when you made this announcement. And now you're selling it and you lose it in the interim. However, the Gemara is assuming, the Ron points out that would be a similar parallel to our case, because the woman actually owns her hands, she's gonna be owning her hands throughout the entire thing. The husband just has the claims to the earnings, but the hands themselves are hers. Whereas the field is owned by someone else in that interim period, so therefore there's a chumra and a kula by both. So therefore, Rabbi Lai's understanding that each one has a chumra and a kula, we can say that they're basically the same, that halakhically they're the same, because this one has a major chisaron in the case of the field, that at the end of the day, it's not yours at all. You have zero bailus over it in that interim period, yet the hektish is chal, as opposed to the case with a woman where she doesn't own it, she doesn't really own it when she's making the neder, because the husband has the rights to it, but yeah, but her hands are still there, and her hands remain hers, obviously, throughout that neder period, so she never really lost control of it ever fully, as opposed to the case of the field, you fully lost control. So since each of them have a chumra nakula, we can compare the two cases, and we should assume that just like the case of the field should become hektish when you rebuy it, so too the woman is able to make such this neder that should be chal when she divorces the husband. So the Gemara says, maskif la Rabbi Yirmiyah, still, no, that's not a good comparison. Midami, are the cases you just mentioned at all parallel? So dezusha ani mocher lecha hashta biyadehi, that in the case of the field that I'm selling to you right now, it's the koyach, it's in his koyach right now to be makdish. That's the whole ikar point, that he's able to be makdish right now. It's his and his hektish is chal right now. Isha biyada lakdish mesedeh, but in the case of the woman, does she have any ability to be able to makdish her earnings right now while she's still married? Of course not. That the two cases are not going to be compared, because the chumrah of the strength of the case of the sada is much stronger than the case of the woman. When it comes to the sada, it's yours right now, so you can makdish it. It's like amigo, since you can makdish it now, even though you sell it in the interim, when you get it back, you're allowed to be makdish it. When it comes to the case of the wife, though, she doesn't even have a bailus. She doesn't have a shus over her hands at the time of the neder, because they're owed to the husband, ki'ilu. And therefore, since they're owed to the husband, she doesn't have a chalos over the neder. She doesn't have jurisdiction over that neder. And therefore, the neder should not be chal. They're fundamentally different cases. And says now, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Halodami elala omer lachavero sadezu shemacharti lacha. I'll tell you a better example, said Rabbi Yirmiyah. This would be more comparable to our case of the woman in the case where she's making this neder. Should be more similar to a case of a person who says, this sada that I sold to you, when I buy it back, lechshchena mimcha takdish, mikacha, that when I buy it back to you, I want to make it hektish. So, pashut, the hektish is not going to be chal, because you can't be makdish davar shelo balaolam, so that would not work. Meaning, if you hold it, you can be makdish davar shelo balaolam, and fine, that would work. But we're not in that mandam. We're trying to explain that Rabbi Yochanan Menuri is understanding that a person is not makdish davar shelo balaolam. So what's going on over here? So therefore, the Gemara says maskif la Rapapa, that he doesn't like the comparison. That would be more similar to that. We don't have an answer. And Rapapa doesn't like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Says the Gemara, Rapapa didn't like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Maskif la Rapapa. Mi dami, are your cases comparable? Gabe zvina psika milsayu. In Rabbi Yirmiyah's case of the sale, there's something, psika, it's gonna be absolute, meaning the field and the rights to the produce are both in possession of the buyer. And since the person is makdish, has no rights whatsoever, that makes sense. You don't have the koach to be makdish it. However, gabe isha, mi paska milsa, but when it comes to a woman, that's not exactly the same parallel. Her husband has the rights to earning, yet, but we went out, the yadai, those hands are really hers, so you can't compare those to the either. So Rapapa would agree that, he agrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah that he doesn't like Rabbi Eli's comparison, because it's not exactly the same future interest of the sale, because the sale is in your bailus right now to be makdish. But Rav Papa doesn't like Rav Yirmiyah's comparison either. That's the point that Ram points out. He doesn't like Rav Papa doesn't like to go so far as to explain it like Rav Yirmiyah, because when it comes to a woman, she has the yadai, as opposed to the case that Rav Yirmiyah wanted to compare it to, was that it was totally the other guy's field, and you want to be makdish the other guy's field. That's not true. That's not the comparison of the woman either. You went too far, Rabbi Yirmiyah. That's what Rav Papa's saying. So Rav Papa says, what is it comparable to? Halo dami ela la omer lechavero soda zusha mashkanti lecha lechshavdena mimcha takdish milo kachar. Rav Papa wants to compare it to a case to someone who says to his friend, the field that I have, mashkanta, is the land that I borrowed and placed in possession of the malva until I pay you back. So that's like it's a regular case of a collateral. So I give it to you collateral. So that case, lechashavdena mimcha takdish, when I'm going to be makdish it, when I redeem it from you. Meaning, in that case, it's similar to the wife who is makdish her hands in the future. Because when you're making the neder on the object that you don't have, the one who has it, the lender is the one who has it over here. He has the rights to its produce, but you get it back. It's still yours. You get it back when you pay back the loan. Similar by the woman, her hands are there, but she just has to give it to the husband. She'll get it back when they get divorced. So therefore, the Ran understands that the field would become kadosh only when it's redeemed, not right away. Only when it's redeemed, it would be kadosh. And so the Gemara says, "Maski flar of shishib reid ravidi." But wait a second, me dummy. Rav Papa's case also I don't like though. You are not comparing the case of the woman correctly to the case of this collateral, because sada biyada liftosa, in the case of Rav Papa, the field is in the borrower's power at that time to redeem the field by if he really can make makdish right now. It's not exactly comparable because it really was fully his. Isha biyada liskarish. In the case of the woman, however, isn't her power to become divorced, and therefore she cannot make the neder to aser her hands right now because that later date, because it's different than the case of Rav Papa. The Ran points out that even though it's not in her power to become divorced, she can, according to Rav Huna, though she can say that she wants to regain the earth. She can write any osa, or she, meaning she can get her own earnings by saying that she doesn't want to have the support of her husband. So lechora she does have the ability. That's the exact parallel that Rav Idi is bothered by. So the Ran answers for this question by saying that when she's refusing to be supported by the husband, she's only going to be still be removing her chiyuvim of the five salaim. However, there are other things that, as the Ran quotes, like kvisa and other things that tochenes, ofev, kvisa, right, to do all of those things, to bake and to launder, all these different types of malachas, those are going to be chayev even when the woman is not being supported by the husband. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri must be talking about those cases. That in those cases, that is going to be impossible to avoid, all while she's married, and she doesn't have the ability to divorce him, so those are the cases that we're talking about. That is the cases that the husband should be made for. You're right, though. When it comes to mizonos, we would be able to make this comparison. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Rav Shishab Reid Ravidi wants to compare it to something else. He says it should be more similar to the case of Sadezu, Shemashkanti Lechal Eser Shanim. The field that I put as a mashkun for you, I agreed to leave it in your possession for 10 years. I agreed to put it with the malva for 10 years, that I'm not allowed to get it back from you. When I going to be get it back from you after 10 years, then it's going to be Kaddish. Milo Kacha. In that case, should we not assume that it is Kaddish? In the case, again, that you can't do it, yet it's going to be kaddish in the future. So because it really, we're able to make such a neder. So similar, when it comes to the wife's neder, to Asher Yadai, so it should take effect when she reacquires them and she's not able, even though she can't do it right now. So therefore, that would be the comparison of our case of the woman's. The Gemara says also this is problematic. Maskifla Ravashi says that this is also a problem. Me dummy, are these cases comparable? Hasam kits, then it comes to the case of the field that you agree for 10 years, it should be the other person. So it's a fixed amount of time. After 10 years, you know for sure, you have the power to redeem it. However, Misha Misa Kitsusa, whenever the husband stays with her, she's going to be married. And whenever he chooses to divorce her, she's going to be divorced. But that could be 100 years from now. It could be 80 years. It could be 30 years. Meaning there's no fixed amount to that. So we never know when they're going to get divorced. So that's not a good comparison either. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela Maravashi. Rather, the Gemara basically is going back. We quoted before of Huna, Breda, Bishua, and the Mishnah that says that where the wife is makdish her hands, which are going to be in existence, the Gemara then asked that again, that it's still davar shelo bala olam. To this, Ravashi is answering that since her hands are presently, they're not necessarily hers to be makdish them, Rav Ashi is going to answer that really her hands with the konem is considered something which is under her jurisdiction to be able to be make as a konem. How do we know this? Rav Ashi, shani konamas, konamas are stronger. Dechi kedushas haguf dami. Because they are similar to something that's called kedushas haguf. So this, just to give a little bit of background. When a person is makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, so you can be makdish, let's say a table, a chair, you can make it hektish. So what is that status? That would be called kedushas damim. That only the monetary value of this table, this chair, is really going to be kaddish. So that meaning, and that money you can use towards the korban. So that is going to be that you're able to be able to redeem that. Any item that is kedushas damim, you're able to redeem, because basically the idea is all you're doing is just taking its value anyway, and that you're not changing its essence. The table wasn't really kaddish. The value of the table was kaddish. For that, you can redeem it. However, kedushas haguf, which is something which inherently is kaddish, like the animal itself, you can never redeem that. That animal itself, is, as long as it's not a mum, as long as there's not a blemish to it, you have a chiyuv to be able to use that very animal as a korban. Because it's kedushas haguf, it's not able to be redeemed, and it's never going to be, its essence has been changed by being redeeming it. So a konem, we're pointing out, is similar to something which is like actually kedushas haguf. So you can't remove it through any other means. Meaning, even though konem means the item should be usher like a korban, it does not mean that it should be sold and money used as a korban, like a kedushas damim. Rather, it's stronger, it's like kedushas haguf. It has the inherent kedusha. What's going to be the difference? When a woman makes this neder, that her hands are konem to her husband, the hands are basically becoming like kedushas haguf. And therefore, they're going to be removed from their chiyuv to the husband. That's basically, it's overriding their chiyuv to the husband. It's not davar shalom, it's something that she has to give to the husband. So therefore, it's able to remove them, and that's a... So that's the point of this case. It's able to remove the chiyuv that she has for the husband. So, like Rava says, in different contexts, three other halachas, that if someone is makdish something, if a person designates a shor, let's say, as an apotki, what's an apotki? Apotki is a case, apotki, I don't pronounce always, I always get wrong, apotki is I specifically designate this animal for collection for you. So you have a lien on that animal. If I sell that animal to someone else, that animal has a lien on it, and you can get it back from that person that it was sold to, because it was yours. It was yours if I don't pay, in the event that I don't pay back. I agree to that. So over here, this shor, that if I decide to be makdish it as a korban, so that would remove your lien on the property. You lose that right to the property. You can't say, hi, it's stolen. No, because at the end of the day, I have the ability to pay with other things, and therefore, that would be only something which is kedushas haguf. If it's only kedushas damim, that would not remove your lien on it. That would not remove your lien. But here, since it's kedushas haguf, I'm able to remove the lien. And similar chametz. If you have a chametz of a Jew that was a Jew's possession during Pesach, so it becomes aser ba'ana. We know that, right? So here we're talking about a case of a Jew borrows money from a non-Jew and he designates his chametz over here. Okay, I have all these grains of wheat and I'm going to be the flour over here. This flour, these $1,000 worth of flour is yours. I say it to the goy and you could collect from it. I can't. If I sell it to anybody, you're allowed to get it if you have a lien on the property. So the halacha is that when Pesach comes in, the chametz is aser because it still was considered the Jews, and therefore you can destroy it. That's not a problem. You should. It's not mafkin made. It's even though there's a shibud on a lien on it, it's not considered the goyis. And similarly, also shichur mafkin made shibud. Now, when it comes to shichur, if a person has a slave, an eved knaini, who he designated as a putki for to collect your debt, and then you decide to free him, so then you have to collect the money from somewhere else, but you can't, we can't assume that you didn't have the ability, it wasn't yours to be able to free you. No, you did have that ability. So, what's the Yesod HaDvarim over here? So Tosos explained, famous Tosos in Gittin, Tosos explained that the reason is that Rava's understanding that when you have something which is designated as a putki, it does not belong to the person who has the lien on it. Rather, it's considered you have the rights to it. You have the rights for the payment, but the item itself is really considered the loves. It's considered the loves, and therefore, if you decide to do any of these things, it's able to remove the malvez connection to it. And since over here, you're not considered the full owner, then if that's the case, then all these three things are able to be removed in that form. And that's okay, that's a tosa. So not every type of hektish is going to remove it. We just pointed out that when it comes to kedushas haguf, that would. Kedushas damim would not. Why is that? Because when it comes to kedushas damim, the value is able to be basically removed by just essentially just removing that value by being to be impodet. All you do is redeem that table. You redeem the value of the table, and that removes the status of the table. So here, over here, so when you're makdish, kedusha is a damim, so then that you're not able to do, because the item itself has to be brought as a korban. However, when it comes to the case of the Kedushas Damim, that you can do, the person just gives a value to the Beis HaMikdash, and that would work to be able to remove the Kedushas Damim, and then it would remain a lien to the person who, the Malve. So the Gemara says, though, okay, fine, so great. So we're saying it's so strong that basically it's mafkia, the shibud of the husband. So the Gemara said, wait a second, though. If that's the case, why are we waiting till the woman gets divorced that the neder's chal? Shouldn't it be chal right away? It should be mafkia, the chiyuv that the woman has to the husband right now. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi lamali shema yigarshena." Why do I have to come onto the concept of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to tell me that maybe she's going to divorce her and the net is going to be chal? It should be chal right now. As just pointed out, the kedusha zaguf is immediately going to remove the chiyav of the shibud kilu that the husband has to her hands, and that's mafkia it. And so the Gemara says, "You're right." Tane ve'od shema yigarshena, meaning you're right. It's really kadosh right now. It does. It's chal immediately. However, when Rabbi Yochanan says maybe he's going to divorce her, he's giving another additional chiddush. The rabbanan are strengthening the husband's rights to the thing, to assume that he's the actual owner during the marriage, so that she's not able to be able to remove them through a konam. Still, he should remove them through a neder, because if he's going to divorce her, it's not going to be chal. So that's meaning that we're, if you assume that the husband's rights are so strong, Imamish owns them. He's not like considered a shibud on them, but Imamish owns them. Then Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you say that, no, still they're going to be chal later at a later point. So that's how we're understanding right now. The Ran just points out that if we're assuming that the Rabbanan strengthened the husband's rights to a level that he's mamish the owner, so then we go back to the original question though, how can it take effect after a divorce? Meaning, aren't we assuming that it's a davar shelo bala olam then? So the Ran answers that even the Rabbanan gave the husband the ownership to her hands, they did so only in effect the rights to the earnings. However, after the divorce, that's not considered davar shelo bala olam, and therefore it's going to be able to take effect after they get divorced. Okay, that's the Ran answers. Fine. Next, we're up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Nadra ishto v'sovar shenadra bita. So here's a very interesting thing, is that what if a person's wife makes a neder? He thought he heard that the one neder was made by his daughter, he's able to be made for the nedarim of his daughter who's under the age of 12. So he's made for the neder. He's made for the neder. So if that's the case, but he was told that it was his daughter, but it's really his wife. So, all the way around, Nadra Bito Vesavar Shinadra Ishto, where his daughter made the neder, and he was told that his wife and he was made for it. He didn't want them to make the neder. Nadra Ben Nazir Vesavar Shinadra Bekorban. Or, if his wife or daughter made a neder to become a Nazir. So here it's different that he just got the idea, where he got, the person was right. He knew it was his wife, he knew it was his daughter, but he had what they said wrong. She said she wanted to become a Nazir. He thought that she was ushering something upon herself, not a Nazir. And he was made for that. Nadra Bekorban Savar Shinadra Ben Nazir, are they around? So, or another example, the Mishnah says, Nadra Meta'enim Vesavar Shinadra Mina Anavim. If she made a neder to not have figs, and he thought that she didn't want to have grapes, Nadra Mina Anavim Vesavar Shinadra Mina Ta'enim. Or she made a neder from grapes, and she thought she was ushering figs. And all these examples, says the Gemara, Hare Ze Yachser Vayefer. In all these examples, he should go back and be made for the neder again. So that's meaning that his original thing, his original afar is considered to be wrong because he was misinformed. So therefore, when he hears the truth, he wants to be made for the neder, he has to be made for it again. And the Rishonim point out that then obviously the Biyom Shama would change also. I mean, he heard about this like today, let's say. Then a week later he hears, no, it really wasn't your daughter, it was right. So that's going to be Biyom Shama. So that becomes Biyom Shama and he's able to be made for it even if it's a week later. He has until the end of the day that he hears about it. As we're going to see, the Gemara is going to quote the source of this idea is Yania Osa, that he is removing her nether, that you specifically have to know whose nether, Osa, and implies you have to know whose nether it is that you are being made for. Because at the end of the day, just say he was, what's the problem? He was made for a nether. Just says Hafara. He has the ability to be made for his daughter, he has the ability to be made for his wife. What's the problem that he just said Hafara? So Yania Osa, no, you have to know who it's going on. It also has to be on, Yania Osa apparently also teaches us, because that was a case where you got the person wrong. What if I got the neder wrong? So apparently Yania Osa is able to extend also that you have to know what neder exactly was being said. You have to know exactly what neder is being said, and that also, if you heard the wrong one, then you'd later be able to be made for it at a later point. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Lamimra, the Yania Osa, Imirtz Hashem, in tomorrow's Daf.